Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. They ain't gonna be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control buildings and industry, and put that pools in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for a lease. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folk got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations who got the money. That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor that is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk own and control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad mouthing you. And O'Reilly. They can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. You only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate them. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March for what? Who cares? Marching has never changed anything.
All right, today's podcast, and we're taking call-ins. Calculating inflation, June Cleaver is dead. For those of the matter of fact, if anybody who knew who June Cleaver was, give us a call, 619-768-2945. And in the case of today's live stream, June Cleaver represents the traditional housewife, at least here in the United States and probably several other Western countries. Calculating inflation, June Cleaver's dead. And we're going to do a bit of a social experiment here that you're welcome to participate in. This, and actually we're going to go to phone calls too for any kind of announcements. Up in Chicago tomorrow, July 30th, there is Reclaiming Our Youth. And I think inflation is a topic that you need to teach our youth. From as early as you can, because everybody's affected by it. But you know, the earlier you learn how to learn about inflation, what inflation is, and how to calculate it, and how to predict your future from it, the better. Anyway, but more on Reclaiming Our Youth here. We'll be with that in a few minutes. Let's continue on. I'm lining up some information for Calculating Inflation, June Cleaver. I might change that title. Is June Cleaver dead?
Many a young athlete entertains hoop dreams. Few, if any, have tried as hard to make them come true as the kid our Steve Hartman has gone to see.
Every week, he set himself up for disappointment. Every week, 13-year-old Jamarian Stiles came to this community center in Boca Raton, Florida, hoping to play basketball with the other kids. And every week, he was rejected.
They'll start picking teams, and I would be the only one left out. And then they'll just tell me, just go home and stuff. You can break someone's heart like that.
The problem was obvious to everyone but Jamarian. He lost his hands and most of his arms as an infant due to a rare bacterial infection. But he insisted that was no reason to give up his hoop dreams.
What about soccer? Have you heard of that sport?
Yeah, hear it every day.
Why don't you play soccer? That just seems like the obvious thing.
You would think that I would be good at soccer. I'm really not. I'm horrible.
Which is why, on the first day of class here at Eagles Landing Middle School, Jamarian took his case to basketball coach Darian Williams.
Yeah.
Said he wanted to be on the team this year.
I said, all great, well, just make sure you try out.
He said, okay, great, but what are you really thinking?
This man has no arms.
Yeah.
How is he going to play basketball? But, man, he told me, Mr. Williams, I've never been on a team before. Even if I don't play, I just want to be on the team. And how could I say no to that?
And that's how the Eagles got their first armless basketball player. Jamarian, number two there, quickly earned a reputation as the hardest worker on the squad.
He was usually the first one in the gym, usually the last one to leave.
Still, he sat on the bench most of the season.
Try one more.
Until last month. Coach put him in the game with about 6 minutes left. And when he eventually got the ball on the far side of the court, everyone yelled, shoot it! So he did. And sank. A three-pointer. And if you didn't quite see that, don't worry. Because shortly after, he got the ball again. This time on the near side. For another three-pointer at the buzzer. Jamarian Stiles, the kid no one would pick, was now everyone's hero. Needless to say, today, Jamarian can play all he wants at the community center. He just made the volleyball team and has every intention of playing football next year. Really, the only thing he won't play is the victim.
If I could wave a magic wand right now and give you your arms back, would you want them?
I don't need them.
You don't need them?
No. Nope.
Who needs hands when you've got this kind of touch?
Now, learn this from Joel Osteen. That's my man. He be texting me. That's my man. This God done put some people around me, show me some stuff. He was telling this story. He said, this man that went to heaven, and he was walking with Peter down this aisleway, and it was going down this corridor, had a lot of doors on it, and said all these doors had names on it. And he said, Peter, let me ask something. What's all these doors, these names on? He said, don't worry about it. Just go ahead. So he kept walking. He messed around. He saw one of them doors and had his name on it. He said, whoa. He said, hey, Peter, this here ain't got my name on it. Something I need to know? He said, man, don't worry about that. You here now. Just go on in there and talk to him. See what he's here. He said, nah, I want to know what's in the door. He said, you sure you want to see what's in the door? He said, yeah. So he opened up the door. It was a warehouse. It had nothing but shelves on it. And then the shelves had nothing but packages. And all the packages had his name on them. And he said, what is all these boxes? He said, that's all of the blessings, all of the things God wanted to ship to you. But number one, you didn't ask him for it. Then number two, you didn't believe you would have it. Then you doubted him. And then you felt like you wasn't worthy. And so now all these boxes is up here. Now the man standing there wishing he had never even been in the room. And I started thinking. I got some dudes that work for me. And I said, I want you to do this graph for me. And that's what I'm finna show you now. See, what you happen is, when God sends your package, he only sends it to one street. That's Faith Street. You got to stay in faith. You can't move off of Faith Street. You can't get on Doubted Drive. You can't be over there and start doubting it, because your package going to go right on by. You can't lose your faith and get on Not Meant to Be Way, because your package is going to keep going right on by. Because the package just go to Faith Street. You can get your little feelings hurt, I ain't worthy. Guess what? Your package going to keep going right on by. You have not because you ask not. Then you sit up here and start feeling sorry for yourself. You go over on Pity Way, your package keep going right on by. If you stay right on Faith Street, don't ever come off, because the blessing is coming. If you wait on it, here it comes. It may not come when you want it, but it's on time. But if you get up and you move off of Faith Street, your box gonna get sent back to sender. And now you're gonna have a warehouse with a bunch of boxes with your name on it that you didn't never get. And I don't know about you, but I want everything he got for me. If he got something for me, I need all of mine. Because I don't know about you, but God lay you out, man. God will give you stuff. Man, he done took me places. I ain't never thought I was going to go. I done seen parts of the world I never even thought I could go to. He done gave me stuff. He done put people in my life. God will do it for you, man. But you just got to stay, man. Use these principles of success. Understand, God is just that way. He'll lay you out. Because if he can lay me out, see, if he fix me and change me and get me over here trying to do better, I ain't perfect. I'm just trying to do better. I still say some stuff I ain't supposed to say. You understand? I ain't got it all together yet. I just got in the gate. I'm a new kind of Christian. But ain't no lock on my gate either. So if you see, once you check me, I'm probably going to check you back. But I'm getting better at that. I don't know how to love my enemies yet. I'm getting better at it, though. But it's a process. And the more times we can make people understand that it's a process, the more people can come in. And y'all people that have been good to me, that have been praying for me. I mean, man, my mama, if she could see me now, I just wish my mama could see me. Because she's been praying for this hill all her life. Watch my son. Well, he done watched me, mama. And I'm cool now. And my philosophy is very simple. I was who I was, but I am who I am. And I'm cool with both them people. Because who I was wasn't that bad. bad cap. I made some mistakes, but I've been changed a little bit, and it's still a process. And the more people that you invite into the process, the better this is. Because ain't nobody perfect no how. So I really appreciate y'all, man, hearing me and listening to me. I'm going to ask Kirk Franklin if he will come.
All right. Today's topic, calculated inflation. And I've adjusted the title to Is June Cleaver Dead? And if people don't know who June Cleaver was, you can go on Wikipedia, type in June Cleaver. I'm sure they have an article about her. The TV show that she was a mother on was Leave It to Beaver. And she played a traditional housewife. So when I say, is June Cleaver dead, I'm speaking about June Cleaver representing the traditional housewife of the 50s and 60s and maybe some 70s. You probably got a few around today, but not as many as when that TV show was on. And June Cleaver playing a traditional housewife. And the Cleaver family on Leave It to Beaver is a family of four that lived in a neighborhood with a white picket fence. I'm assuming it could have been a suburb or a real nice area, part of the city. Middle class, though. Husband Ward Cleaver, he had a job. I don't know what kind of job he had, but he went to work every day with a suit on. And June Cleaver often would bake cookies or brownies, or when Ward came home or the kids came home from school, she was wearing pearls. she was wearing pearls, sometimes a black dress with pearls. But, hey, she represented a realistic snapshot, not of all traditional housewives back then, but the main thing with a traditional housewife, as here in the United States and some other Western countries, back in the 50s, 60s, and maybe some 70s, and you might have one or two out there today, but one or two, the traditional housewife, somebody who did not go out and earn a paycheck. She worked, because housework, being a housewife, does require work. You're running a household. Meals, lunches, making sure people go to school, get to work, the grass getting cut, just household work, you know. It's work. It's a job. But it does not get a traditional paycheck. So the question that I heard, is June Cleaver dead? Can the average household afford to operate on one paycheck? So we're going to do some calculation, and some people base it that you have to have an income of $100,000. So we're going to go through the ages. We're going to go back to my great grandmother. And if you want to include yours, so be it. But anyway, we're going to do that in a few. But first, let's get the phone line here. 773, your line is open.
773.
I
got looking at all
this.
So, Lee, don't put this down
until
we get
on now. She stepped up on the phone. 773. Okay, let me.
Oh, okay.
Let's see if they can come back to the phone. 773?
Hello?
Yep.
Hello?
We're ready for you.
How you doing?
We're ready for you. Fine, fine. Well, tomorrow's the big
missed
day.
Missed you yesterday.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I didn't
hear. Yeah, well, we got our phone straight about 3 days ago. So.
Okay.
Anyway, you got a big event tomorrow.
Oh, yes.
So for the people who don't know, would you share it with us, what's happening in Chicago, Illinois tomorrow?
Yes, in Reclaiming Our Youth Day. It is all about black children and economic development. Our goal is to teach our children, if they work together, that we can build an economic base in our community that is sustainable. And instead of them going to school here, get a good education to get a job, they'll here go to school, get a good education, and create a job for your friends. And that if we spend one dime out of every dollar in our community, we can create 20,000 jobs in our community every year worldwide. So it's up to us. If we want to change, we got to be the change we want to see.
That's true. That's true. Now, over the years, because this is your 10th year, who are some of the people that, you know, locally who have shown up, that have participated, I'll put it that way?
The United Black American Progress Association has been with us all 10 years. Okay. For those people who don't know, it's an organization that started by Dr. Webb Evans. They used to call him Mr. By Black in Chicago and in some other states, too, because I think he was like Atlanta, Mississippi, but it was mostly southern states. And he started it 62 years ago. He died at 102. And he turned it over to Minister Raheem, that some people probably know him better as Fax Preacher. And he's been running the organization for the last 7 years.
Okay.
Dr. Evans passed in 2015. So he has always said, Dr. Evans has always said, if you want to give power to your people, then don't holler with your brothers and sisters, spend your dollars. And those people that control the jobs control the neighborhood. So if we want to be in control of our own neighborhood and our own economic level, we need to spend our dollars with each other. We need to start educating our children. And we start training the children at age 7. And the vendors come out, all black vendors, all black children. The vendors come out and they pay the children to work with them that day to learn how to be entrepreneurs. The National Black Club University has been another. The 16th Ward Political Task Force. I know I'm going to end up forgetting somebody. The Original Men in Black. A couple of years, New Era Chicago has been with us. You know Reba has been with us.
Right.
So, and it has True Light Church Baptist. This year, we will be having the ABJ Center will be joining us and bringing their young people and entertainment. King George, the DJ, George Smith, he has been a supporter. He has volunteered his services for every year. He has not missed one of the 10 years. Although we have been knowing each other since 7th, 8th grade. So he came as my friend, not only as a professional, but also as somebody I grew up with, one of my friends.
All right.
I know I'm missing somebody. Sisters in the Struggle.
Well, that's quite a lineup. That's quite a lineup. So now, will it be... will we be able to see it online tomorrow?
Oh, yes.
Like
Trinity Church.
Will somebody be doing a live stream? Well, I guess Reba, she'll be doing a live stream.
Yes, there will be people that are doing live streams. Okay. And the ABJ Center is, they will be giving us part of, they're doing a documentary on their services. The ABJ Center and Trinity Church are the ones that donated the space for us. So we have this huge parking lot, big enough, and we're preparing for at least 200 children to show up.
All right, that's excellent.
Yeah, so in the children, we feed the children all day long free. They can eat as often as they want to. 20 and under, they get to eat. That grown folks got to pay for theirs. Okay.
So, I'll take your hot
so
dogs
we will
and
have food vendors there.
Oh, you will be or you won't be, have them?
We will have food vendors there.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
I know Go-Go Girl Catering is one of the food vendors that be there. Tony Mono Sandwiches, he will be there. So it's going. So there will be even food for the vegans. Will be there.
Yeah, it seems like you got all bases covered. Now, the children. Hot dogs and hamburgers for them or what?
Is it for the parents?
No.
They all do reasonable prices. Everybody knows this is about getting people to bring their children. So
right.
Nobody is overpricing anything.
Okay. Well, 200 children reclaiming our youth. 10 years, this is a milestone.
Yes.
Definitely a milestone, 10 years.
And hopefully my goal this year is that one of my young people will stand up and say, okay, Mom Evelyn, you can sit down. I'm ready to take over.
Because
you know I'm 73.
Well, that's young. Relatively young.
Say that in the morning when I be trying to get up.
Nelson Mandela, how old was he when he got out of prison?
I think he was in his
80s. Yeah, he was in his 80s and went on and became president of South Africa.
Okay, well, you know I'm going to go age old. Well, you know he a man, and men can do all of the things they want to do.
Well, women can too. women typically outlive men anyway.
That's because we don't work as hard as y'all do. We ain't going to be carrying no
bricks. I don't know
bricks.
About that now. Raising children, and that's work.
I know, but y'all be running around carrying bricks and stuff. Only thing we going to carry is a big stick.
Well, that's needed too. Well, you might get in I'm sure you got people to help you now.
Well, they come and help, but I think it's time for me to step back and let them put their spin on building economic development.
Well, now hopefully, and I don't know anybody you know except for Reba, somebody like Reba might want to step in.
Oh, she ready?
Well, let me ask you this now. Typically, with an event like this, it seems like after you get done with one, you sort of got to start planning for the next year. Almost, you might take a month off, I guess. But how old do you start planning? Because 1 year, that's not a long time.
I spend the entire year. I will start on August 1st.
Mm-hmm.
Every event that I go to, when they call my name, I talk about Reclaiming Our Youth Day.
Right.
Because economic development is every day, not just one day a year.
Right.
So, and I do other things too. I am a community listener. I know most young people don't even know what that is, but I'm trying to encourage other elders in our community to start listening to our young people. And then offer advice. Because if you just talking to them, all you doing is just shooting out information. They don't have no reference point. But if you listen to what their concerns are, then you can positively offer positive solutions to the problem. Because you know what you're talking about.
Right.
So that's the goal. So year round, because I have another group that I call A New Beginning Start Now, and it's all about life skills. Okay.
I created
a chart to teach them how to do problem solving, because most people think problem solving is about math, but no, It's about being able to identify and rectify and come up with solutions.
That's true. That's a class that adults need to take.
Well, some of them do take it.
Okay.
Especially those that work with young people take it because they see the benefits in it. Do you know that when it comes to our children, if you ask them to define family, the only thing that they can tell you about defining family is, oh, that's my brother or my sister. Don't they know those are relatives? Family are the people who support you with love, who discipline you with love, who offer positive solutions. And they don't have to be related to you by love, by blood. They just have to be related to you by love.
Hmm.
There are children who cannot even define what fathers and mothers are. So why do you think children call people in the street their sisters and brothers and sometimes the ones that live in their household with them?
Right.
We got to go back to teaching the truth to our children and correcting our history.
Right.
Until
we
do that, we don't have anything to complain about.
Now, so...
Okay, I'm sounding bossy now.
Now, you say, or we know we got Reclaiming Our Youth. That's one. That's an event, though. But give me the name of this other organization that you just mentioned that you had.
New Beginnings Start Now.
New Beginnings Start Now. Now, how old is that organization or program?
It started in 2002. And the first thing that New Beginnings Start Now did, we partnered with Chicago Commons, the Mary McDowell Center, who work with families. And we did mandated parenting. We helped write the proposal for the empowerment zone in Chicago, but when they got the grant, six of the programs they used came out of the Inglewood New City community, but the money went to other communities. And we were never given an explanation why the city of Chicago decided to diss Inglewood and New City when it came to that $10 million a year. It could have changed our neighborhood altogether. The government had a program and that invested. It was called the Empowerment Zone.
Right.
And it was to rebuild communities. And one of the most intelligent men I've ever met in my life, Reverend Dr. John Porter, okay, was over our section. Oh, he's made his transitions now. But we worked sometime to 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning working on that proposal because we wanted it to be perfect. They accepted the proposal at the city of Chicago level. But what they did is they took six of the programs that we had wrote in the proposal and gave it to other communities and not Inglewood and New City.
Right.
Okay. So, but we already knew what that was about. They wanted to regentrify Inglewood, and they were trying to figure out how to get all of the poor people out because it's the center of the city. So we knew what was going on. And even now, they got aldermen in a few wards over there, a couple of wards over there, that's fast-tracking Inglewood, and the people are not paying attention. One of the best business districts that they had was 63rd Street. You ride down 63rd Street, and it's like about 85% vacant lots. So they need to ask the 50th and 16th ward aldermen, their aldermen, what are you doing to our community?
Now, where in Chicago, where do the majority of black folks, because, I mean, one-third of the city is black, which is over 1 million people. So where are black folk in Chicago living? What part of the city or parts?
Well, on the south side, there is still a large black community in Chatham, Auburn Gresham, South Shore. Inglewood may be one-third black now.
Okay.
They're being infiltrated by Hispanics, Asians, and Arabs. 90% of the businesses in Inglewood is owned by other ethnic groups. Lundell, I haven't been there, but I'm telling you, I don't know if you heard, Lundell just opened up a black grocery store on the west side of Chicago. And that used to be 90% black communities now, but I have not lived over there in about 45, 50 years. So I can't tell
okay.
you, you know, the makeup of Lundell now. I know it's still got a lot of blacks there.
All right.
Okay.
So we're talking
but
about
we
the
have
south
been
side
so
and
divided.
The west side. Okay.
Yeah, the Cook County Land Bank has stolen the land from the black family owners in the neighborhood using water bills and taxes, and so they could sell it to other ethnic groups. So that's the reason I say that before we vote election day, we need to go and look at the voting record of every elected official we have in this city. And if they have not been voting in your best interest, you need to vote for somebody else. And that's about 95% of the people that we have in office right now.
Well, at one point you brought up is some of these municipalities, just not Cook County, but Flint, Michigan, Detroit, Michigan, Highland Park, Michigan, Hamtramck, Michigan, Columbus, Ohio, and I'm sure many others. Yeah, land banks, that's how a lot of these municipalities grab back property, through property, to high property taxes and high water bills. Baltimore would be another. I don't know if Baltimore has a land bank, but the city, they repossessed a lot of properties that the families had paid off the mortgage. So it was debt-free. And they got them on those municipal, high municipal water bills high property taxes. So.
L.A., those are the ones they go after first in our community. They go after the houses that have been paid for. Those are the ones that the cities and the counties and states steal from smaller ethnic groups, are the properties that are paid for.
Good point.
That's the reason I tell black folks who can own their own land, the thing you need to do is declare nationality and separate from these cities and counties. That's what we need to do, is start buying property and separating, develop our own nation in these cities, something for sovereign land. Because we see they're not working in our best interest. Why are you going to keep paying somebody to steal from you?
You know that? You're right. Why are you going to keep paying
somebody? No, politicians don't particularly care for me, most of them, because I don't mind calling them out. And I will do it in public. I'll do something that I learned from King back in the 60s. When they get ready to talk, I stand up and turn my back on them. Then when people ask me why, I say they turned their back on the community. Why shouldn't the community turn their back on them?
Yeah, that's what does happen in a lot of these large cities. You're paying through those taxes, but a lot of that tax money is used to steal your property.
Yes.
Take it back from
you. Yes. Yes. And you can always tell when somebody is running, that's telling you the truth of what's going on, because they'll figure out, because the news media, I don't think we have an honest news station in the city of Chicago that actually works in the best interest of minorities. I stopped even listening to the news because I got tired of the lies.
That's true. I'm taking notes while you're talking. Let's see.
Yes.
Yeah, a lot of people. Yeah, you're right. They go after those homes that are paid off.
Mm-hmm.
They make a whole industry out of that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's senior citizens and that's why my strategy is, if you can find you a place out in a little country area, rural area, where the property taxes are dramatically lower.
Yep.
Or if you're going to stay in the city, you're going to have to make enough revenue so you can pay those taxes.
You know how they used to catch the rainwater and the old folks would purify the water for you to drink in the city of Chicago?
Yeah.
I think it's illegal for you to do that now.
Yeah, I believe it. The water that comes to your pipes, really, that water originates with the homeowner. It hits the ground as stormwater, goes to the sewer system, and then the city purifies it and cleans it up. And they charge for that, all right, understandable. But, I mean, just not Chicago, D.C., Baltimore, just really high water bills. Even if you don't, like, I got my water off in D.C., but I get a sewage bill every month. Ain't nobody living in the place. I get a sewage bill, you know.
Okay.
So,
I know a young lady, her house paid for, and she ain't lived in it. And, oh, golly, I guess because she's been going back and forth, she just comes to check on her house, stay the weekend and go back. How is she constantly getting a water bill from the city of Chicago, and ain't nobody there using water?
Right.
Explain that one to me.
Like I say, these politicians are looking for ways to generate revenue for the city. Because, see, they've got to have money for infrastructure because, you know, replacing pipes and all that and streets and potholes and all that, that's expensive. And then you got, I don't know about Chicago, but I'm speculating that they have unionized, you know, local government workers. I know they do with the school teachers. So that's expensive. And then, you know, they got to meet payroll every 2 weeks, which Chicago's got a huge local municipal payroll. And then, you know, the people who retire, the pension fund people. You got every month you got to pay out those pension fund checks.
Okay,
so,
but why don't they go to big business instead of going to the poor people?
I agree.
You go to the average city, poor people pay twice the taxes and sometimes three times the taxes that big businesses do.
Right. Well, it's easy to pick on the low-hanging fruit because typically they don't have the money to fight back. And that probably explains a lot of that. But hopefully events like you're doing tomorrow will hopefully some youth will come raise up out of that and help Chicago make it more affordable. But anyway.
Well, L.A., we have out of the children that we are expecting, there are 10 children that are coming that have already started their own business. And one of them is as young as 10.
Good. Do you happen to know what kind of business they have?
One young lady sells jewelry that she makes herself.
Okay.
We have one that his father has taught him how to do T-shirts. We have, I'm missing some, one the mother, Charmaine. She has taught her child how to do the essential oil, you know, body creams.
Right.
I am missing somebody, and they're gonna say you didn't talk about me, my mother.
Do you have a do you have a website?
No, they keep trying to get me to do that, but you know what? I only do social media for promoting events.
Facebook is free. Facebook is free.
I know,
you put a Facebook page up.
I don't want them in my business.
Okay.
There is already somebody on Facebook. People have been calling me that have been saying bad things about my name when they found that. Now, we've never had any complaints on Facebook before, but as soon as I posted that this was the 10th year of doing this, I have been getting calls from people asking me, well, what's happening? When did you change? And I said, I didn't know I had changed. Okay? I've been a community listening ear for 40 years, and all of a sudden this year I have started telling people business. So it's also, you know, I be careful about what I say, what I do on Facebook, unless I'm calling somebody out. Now, I will go out and call out the elected officials and people who I see mistreating my people. I don't have no problem with doing that.
Well, anytime somebody says something when you're doing, because you got a milestone here, 10 years. What do they call them these days? Haters. So you got some, and typically haters are not doing what you're doing, or they wish they could do what you do, but for whatever reason they haven't done it. So you can turn those bricks and build castles with it.
I have even had people get upset with me because I don't let the adults take over. And I have to tell them it's not about the adults. It's about the children. So if they want to sing, say poetry, dance, they can do this because this day is about them. They want to show you what they got. If you don't like it, go home.
And then,
you know, I'm not a butt kisser. So, you know, that's another problem for most people.
Right. Well, like I say, whoever did that, as they call them haters.
They know.
And typically with them, you don't know their name, or they don't give their real name, they don't show their picture or nothing like that. another name for them online are trolls. So.
Yeah. Because I even got it. I did not know people could text you and not leave their telephone number.
I didn't know that was possible. You know what? That's interesting. I had somebody, although this person's positive, but I had somebody call in right into this podcast, and I see their number clearly on the board. But when I called them back, like, immediately, and then I called them, like, 5 or 6 times. And even looked it up online. It had no listing for their number, so I don't know how that's done. Like this particular person was good though. But typically when people
told me if people don't show up at your event, it's not the event; it's you they don't want to see. I just deleted the text. I said, "Yeah, okay."
That's the best thing to do. Don't give into that positive. I mean that negative energy.
No, because you couldn't see the telephone. There was no telephone number with it, just some lines. I didn't know that was possible.
That's somebody that wants to do what you're doing. Well, they got trolls all over. They got trolls all over the internet. They got them even before there was the internet. You got people that attack the people that who are doing something positive. So.
Well, I look at it this way, and I have told young people in other organizations, anytime you want to do this in your community, call me. I'll come help. I don't mind. I don't mind. Because if I could do a Reclaiming Our Youth Day market every Saturday of the year, we would have 52 a year.
Right.
And guess what? As soon as I can figure out how to get a location and separate from this country to where it turned it into sovereign land, they will have a place where they will be able to do Reclaiming Our Youth Day 365 days out of the year.
Okay. Well, it's needed.
No, and I probably should have said that on the radio. Now the city of Chicago will be trying to figure out a way to keep me from doing it. But they don't know I got too many friends. Somebody has to bring in a doorbell, I think. What that is? Yeah.
Well. All right, so that give us the hours for tomorrow.
It's from 9 to 5. We will be setting up. You can come as early as 8:30 in the morning and set up. We will be officially open the market at 9:30, and we'll go till 5 o'clock. And we will be doing the reclaiming ceremony, and that I will have to send it to you in private because I do not want this country to distort the reclaiming ceremony the way they have done Kwanzaa, confusing people to make them think that Kwanzaa is Black Christmas. Kwanzaa is about developing values and traditions in our community that are sustainable.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Well, hold on, I'm going to change this title of today's podcast to Reclaiming the Youth, and we'll cover inflation on another day. Let's see. All right,
so, and I'm waiting on you to start yours. Where you at?
Oh, I'm calling you later today about that. Let's see, Reclaiming Our Youth. Day, okay. Capitalized day, D-A-Y. All right. Now, if anybody, what's the best way they can reach out and contact you?
773-658-3377. Okay. And just tell them to remember, I'm an old lady, so text me first and say, Mama, yeah, I'm finna call you.
All right. Well, yeah, that's the way people do it today anyway. All right, text her first. And then, okay, fair enough on that. All right, well, we're going to wrap it up for today on that. It might affect everything. And thank you for calling. I'll give you a call in about a couple hours or so.
Wait till after 12:30. You know I have my old people class until 12:30.
Right.
That's where I go when I leave you.
Okay, well, you're still working out. That's good. All right. This afternoon I'll give you a call.
Okay.
It'll be about 3 or 4 o'clock your time.
That'll work.
Okay. All right.
Talk
to you then. All right. So everybody that's going to be in the Chicagoland area, 10 years in, that's a milestone, Reclaiming Our Youth Day. And everyone, have a good rest of the day.